Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. An interesting lack of endorsement in the New York Times today. They declined to endorse Governor Cuomo in the Democratic primary on Tuesday, September 9th. Did you read it? The reason: he has failed in the Times' eyes to keep his number one campaign promise, cleaning up corruption in Albany, the excessive influence of big money on state policy. And he even blocked an investigation into the influence of his own big supporters. So no endorsement from the Times for you, Andrew Cuomo. But the Times also declined to endorse Cuomo's main opponent in the Democratic primary, Fordham Law professor Zephyr Teachout. They said Teachout, who is a nationally recognized expert on corruption, is great on that issue, but hasn't shown the breadth of experience or interests needed to govern a big, diverse state. So the New York Times has no candidate in the gubernatorial primary. So listeners, is that a cop-out? Is the Times basically advising low voter turnout? There are people who vote based on the Times' endorsements. Is the paper telling them, stay away from the polls, give up on democracy this primary day? Post your responses to that question to our Twitter and Facebook pages at twitter.com at Brian Lehrer or Brian Lehrer WNYC at facebook.com. All right. And we will check in now on one of the other interesting races in that New York primary on Tuesday, September 9th. This is the Democratic primary to succeed Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams in his state Senate seat. Adams has endorsed one candidate. Mayor de Blasio has endorsed another. This is the 20th state Senate district covering parts of a very diverse district that include parts of Park Slope and Gowanus and Brownsville and Prospect Heights. And we'll find out now what the two candidates say about corruption in Albany and other issues facing New Yorkers. They will get 7 minutes each, starting with Ruben Durancy. Mr. Durancy, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
First, on corruption and the Times editorial, do you agree that New York state government is too subservient to big money interests and that Governor Cuomo has failed to get serious about that?
I do believe that, and even during the course of my campaign, I do believe that campaign financing is an issue that must obviously be reformed. I do believe that if candidates were able to spend much more time focusing on the issues and talking with voters instead of having to spend an inordinate amount of time, fundraising, that we would be able to have the types of thoughtful legislation that would be impactful to the communities across the state of New York.
Do you think you see the big money influence in your district in ways that adversely affect the people there? Can you get specific?
At least not in my fundraising. I would not say that I see a—
I don't mean in your fundraising, in your campaign, but I mean that that has led to policies in the state that negatively impact the people in your district.
No, I wouldn't say that in my fundraising.
Are you endorsing Cuomo or Teachout in the Democratic primary?
I got to tell you, I think they're both brilliant individuals. I'm really focused on the 20th Senate District, and I believe that my skill set would enable me to work with either one of the candidates, whoever prevails.
What do you see as, let's say, the top two issues in your district?
Affordable housing is certainly something that binds all of the concerns. I believe that affordable housing is the primary concern and public safety, and there are ways that we should be thinking in a much more comprehensive and thoughtful and innovative ways to address those issues.
Let's talk a little bit about each of them. What can you do about affordable housing?
Well, I do believe that one of the things that the state has to do is, and the city by extension, is to be extremely committed to affordable housing. And certainly the plan by our mayor, Mayor de Blasio, committing to building or maintaining over 200,000 affordable units, that's a great start. In our immediate district, we want to make sure that we are including in the voices as we develop plans for affordable housing, the concerns of the local communities, and the developers. What we do want to see is types of commitment to affordable housing, not simply just developing market-rate apartments that end up having the type of impact on local residents.
Is Mayor de Blasio getting this right, in your opinion?
I do believe that his commitment to affordable housing is, by extension, his progressive policies and his commitment to working families. Yeah.
But you're running for state senate, so what could the state senate do to advance this agenda?
I do believe that at the state level, we have to be committed to strengthening our rent control laws and our rent stabilization laws. I do believe that one of the major concerns that we've been hearing during our campaign is just a relationship between the landlords and the tenants. So one, we could be looking at, as I said before, the rent controls. But the second piece, I think that we should be looking at also reforming even housing court. Right now, a lot of people's experience with housing court is really one where it is an assembly line towards eviction instead of a place for real justice. So if we can really think creatively, in fact, for example, like the New York City Lawyers Association have put out like different ideas of ways we can reform housing court in a way that would allow for tenants to really find justice and a way for tenants to at least be able to find a place of resolution, it would do a lot of things. Because one, when we look at the rising numbers of homelessness in New York City, what we find is the great numbers are women, and it's a lot of people, almost 90% of the people in the shelters are people of color. So we have to look at how poverty is really distorted by race in our city. And if we're truly a committed progressive state, then we want to make sure that we're establishing policies that are protecting women and children and people of color across our state.
And public safety, what's the state of that in your district? And are shootings going up in the area that you would represent this year?
Well, what we do know across the city, shooting is down. However,
shooting is up.
Crime
Other
overall.
Crime, is down.
Crime overall. But for example, in places like Brownsville, we certainly know that we have a lot of shooting. So what we want to do is continue to think creatively about how we can partner with the New York City Police Department and pass policies that one would continue to protect the civil liberties and the civil rights of our residents, and at the same time make sure that our neighbors are safe.
How's de Blasio, how's Bratton doing on that? There's been so much pushback from various sides recently.
I believe that it is a false choice for us to say we're either going to implement or go back to the days of stop, questioning, and frisk, or we're going to have to succumb to violence. I think what we need to do is continue to push the idea of a culturally responsive community policing so that we make sure that the officers that are serving our communities are doing it in a way that is courteous, that in a way that's respectful, and in a way that engenders trust.
So are they doing that under Bratton? It's not Kelly-style stop, question, and frisk, but it is Bratton-style so-called broken windows policing.
Right. So one of the issues that you want to make sure that we're focusing on is the administration of these different types of policies. What we cannot do is subject any one community to a type of policy that's not administered across the city.
Are they doing that?
It's a process. You know, remember, at the end of the day, what we want to do is support our police officers while at the same time supporting our residents.
I see that you're endorsed by Mayor de Blasio,
yeah.
Working Families Party, right. 1199, the Healthcare Workers Union, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Una and Yvette Clark. It's a good list. But your opponent is endorsed by the UFT, DC 37, the TWU, Eric Adams, your predecessor in the seat, who's now the Brooklyn Borough president. Good progressive list on both sides. How are ordinary voters supposed to sort out this divide among the leaders who they tend to look up to, perhaps, if they're likely to vote in this primary, and who usually agree with each other?
What I would say is I would encourage voters to do a couple of things. One, do not vote against your personal self-interest. I would also argue what you should do is look at each individual's track record. I do believe that my 20 years of service, of successful, concrete service to the communities in an area that has bedeviled our city, especially in low-income and communities of color. My successful track record in education is a preview of the kind of thoughtful, innovative, out-of-the-box type of service that I would bring to the state senate. I am not a person who has made a career running for office. I'm a person who's made a career out of thinking about how do we close the achievement gap? How do we close the opportunity gap? How do we expand opportunities to communities that are marginalized and disenfranchised? Because I fundamentally believe that if we can make sure that every single child, regardless of their zip code, has access to high-quality education, we can begin to close the justice gap and all of the other big societal issues that we have in our state.
Ruben Duranty, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now 7 minutes for the other candidate in the race to succeed Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams in his state Senate seat. Again, this is the very diverse 20th district covering parts of Park Slope, Prospect Heights, Brownsville, Gowanus, and Sunset Park. With us now, candidate Jesse Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton, welcome to WNYC.
Yes, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So on this progressive divide, from your point of view, and again, I see that you're endorsed by the UFT, DC 37, the TWU, Eric Adams, impressive. But your opponent, Mr. Dorsey, who is just here, has Mayor de Blasio, the Working Families Party, 1199, Hakeem Jeffries, Yvette Anuna Clark. So how are ordinary voters supposed to sort out this divide?
Well, we're running a people power campaign on the street level. The WFP, the affiliates for the WFP, the CWA 1180 has endorsed me, 32BJ has endorsed me, TWU has endorsed me, New York Communities for Change, the UFT, and also the New York City Tenants PAC. I've been a union member for 28 years, third-generation union member, proud union member of DC 37, 1757, and we've basically had the endorsement of Peter Abati, Silverman Simberwitz in the Sunset Park era, Felix Ortiz, Joan Millman, Kareem Kamara, Nick Perry, and Dolly Mealy. We're all running a comprehensive, coordinated campaign throughout the district. We had the endorsements of the IND, Independent Political Club, in the Gowanus section. In the Park Slope area, we have the Central Brooklyn Independent Democrats. In Prospect Heights, we have the Prospect Heights Democrats. In Nick Perry's club and also Darlene Mealy's club. So we have the power of the people. I've been working in the community now for 3 decades. From being my block association president, we own our own brownstone, from being the vice president of community board eight, from being a graduate of the Civilian Police Academy. We currently have young men and women in the community who go to a criminal court through the 77 precinct, and we show them 2 sides of the courthouse that provides jobs as, you know, court officers, secretaries, drug counselors, correction officers, lawyers, and then we show them the side of the incarceration. And this has been very helpful in letting children know that breaking the law is not an option. And that's why we started the Stop the SAG campaign with Borough President Eric Adams when he was state senator. I was his attorney to the office, and we tried to instill hope, and we tried to offer guidance to young people in our community. One young man in particular, Benny Lied, he was popular in our community for tutoring young adults. He was 6 months away with honors from graduating from Long Island University, and he was shot by a gang member for his popularity, literally 3 doors down from my house. You know, I was in shock. I was outraged. The community was outraged. We went to every meeting to get justice for Benny Lai, community board meetings, precinct council meetings, school board meetings. It took us 2.5 years, Brian, but we caught the murderer for Benny Lai, and we renamed a Lincoln Place in New York Avenue. Benny Lied Way.
So at the policy level, we just heard from your opponent, Mr. Dorsey. How do you think Mayor de Blasio and Bratton are doing with respect to walking the line between public safety and police respect of the community? And what would you change?
What I would change is have more interaction between the precincts and the community. I've been working with the 67 precinct, the 71st precinct, the 77 precinct, the 73rd precinct in Brownsville. I've walked all the NYCHA houses in Brownsville, Cephalo, Van Dyke, Tilden, Brownsville, Howard, to talk to the residents. And the residents, and believe it or not, and the young men in the community, they want structure. They don't want to be a part of gangs, but they live in fear. They live in fear in the developments. There are 8 NYCHA developments. I grew up in NYCHA housing. I know how difficult it is, but everybody wants to have safe streets and the quality of life. And so what we're doing with the 73rd Precinct, Collada, and also Anthony Newrels, the Precinct Council President, is try to have more interaction, have poetry contests that we did at the Brownsville Library. We're on the ground, knocking on doors, every day knocking on doors, just talking to the residents, and you can make a difference.
Mr. Dorsey had identified public safety and affordable housing as the numbers 1 and 2 in no particular order issues in the district. Would you identify the same two?
What we need is housing is a major issue throughout the district, and also we have to increase the minimum wage. The minimum wage basically is $8 an hour. If you work 40 hours a week, you're only making $1,300 a month. and where can you live on $1,300 a month gross? Once you take out taxes, you're down to $1,100. Once you pay for your MetroCard, you're at $1,000 a month income, and you haven't paid for food yet or clothing. So the income disparity is major. Income inequality is a major issue.
How would you tackle that as a member of the state Senate?
Well, right now, the Erstat laws have to be looked at as far as housing is concerned. I've been an assessor for 28 years in housing, and I never understood why the 80-20 rule applied to luxury housing and 20%, 80% for luxury, 20% for affordable, and the affordable housing is a separate door for individuals who are low income. We're kind of going back in time where you have a separate entrance for those individuals who are not paying market rent, who have the subsidy. I will get rid of all subsidies for luxury housing. The 421A exemption is going to be sunset soon. And if we're going to have subsidies, it should be for only affordable and low-income housing. The market, real estate market in New York is doing great. We don't need any subsidies. We don't need a two-tier system of residents going through separate entrances based on their income. We have to look at it from a holistic perspective, and we need to have input from the community.
And before we run out of time, let me ask you, too, about corruption and the Times editorial today declining to endorse Governor Cuomo for renomination in the Democratic primary. Do you agree that New York state government is too subservient to big money interests? And do you think you see this big money influence in your district in ways that adversely affect the people there?
I think we need to take the model from the New York City Council and have matching funds to make it an even playing field across the board for people from the community who want to run for office. I think that's one of the issues that I will look at, is to have matching funds for the regular guy who's on the ground like myself, who's doing the work in the community but may not have the resources to run for office, but has the intentions of doing the goodwill of the people that I've been doing for two decades in Crown Heights on the ground. So, working with all the community board presidents and working with all the precinct council presidents, we need to have matching funds in Albany to even the playing field. So this way, anybody can run for office rather than just a select few.
And are you endorsing Cuomo or Teachout in the Democratic primary?
Well, right now, Governor Cuomo, I haven't endorsed him yet. I haven't spoken to him yet. But once we do sit down and talk, I'll speak to both candidates. The governor has been doing a good job. And once I speak to both candidates, I'll make a determination.
All right. Neither of the candidates in this race endorsing either of the candidates, at least here on this show, in the Democratic gubernatorial primary.
I support Cuomo, yes.
You do support Cuomo.
Yes.
Okay. So Hamilton for Cuomo and Dorancy more definitively neutral, at least as of these interviews today. Well, good luck to both of you in this
thank
race,
you.
And thank you very much for giving us the time, Jesse Hamilton.
Thank you so much.